We are joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. Teron, thank you for joining us. I know that you have a busy day up in Bristol. I do want to ask you about something we're seeing in the NFL. So there have only been two second-round NFL draft picks who have signed their contracts. Carson Schwechinger, I believe is how you pronounce it, the linebacker in Cleveland, and Houston wide receiver Jaden Higgins. Now, they both received fully guaranteed contracts, which is the reason why they're signed and nobody else is. That includes Femi Oladejo, the Titans edge rusher who was drafted in the second round. I'm curious, how much leverage do these second round picks, including Oladejo, truly have in this scenario with teams starting to report for training camp this week and next?
Yeah, well, I mean, they obviously have a lot of leverage. They're second round picks and they're players that the teams value. I think the big thing is just, as you mentioned, the guaranteed contracts that, you know, were given out. That really makes it tougher to negotiate and say, hey, he got one, why can't I get one? We're both second round picks. So that's the big issue. A lot of times there's smaller things that have to be worked out, like with Cameron Ward stuff. He had a little hiccup that they had to work out, but it got done and it was good. So that's more or less the big thing, the guaranteed part of it.
Are there any concerns, may not be the right word, but it's the only one that's coming to mind right now. Are there any concerns that Oladejo may not report to training camp next week based on this?
Nothing that I know of. I know that during OTAs and minicamp, there's a waiver that they sign. Just guaranteed that the team will negotiate in good faith. I'm not sure how that works with a quote-unquote holdout, which is, in essence, what it becomes, you know, if they don't report.
So two of your colleagues at ESPN, Don Van Natta Jr. and Kalen Kaler, wrote a story last week about the NFLPA, the NFL, the confidentiality agreement with between the two, Lloyd Howell Jr.'s role in all of this as NFLPA executive director, maybe a conflict of interest. There are a lot of different rabbit holes you can go down on this story. What is your general read on this story that seems to be picking up steam?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I did not get to check that story out. I was in New York and in Philly last week, and work was not on my mind, so I can't really speak to that.
That is fair. That is fair.
Well, Teron, I encourage you to check it out because I think it's a really nuanced story, and it just makes me wonder behind the scenes the history of the NFLPA and now the future. And so I think so. Let's table the discussion for now, but I would love to come back to you on this as we move forward because it's so important. And you know the history of the Major League Baseball Players Association, which is widely considered the strongest. We're talking about two different leagues, two different sets of rules, but I do think it's a really important story. So let me hit you with this on Juwan Jennings. This is another one that it's always interesting to sort of track the market of different players. And here's a guy that grew up in this area, you know, Ravenwood High School, University of Tennessee, wasn't ever handed anything at the NFL level. He's carved out a really good career. The 49ers are at a really interesting place in their window, if you want to call it that. He now wants a new deal or a trade. So what do you think can happen? What comes to mind as you see that unfold?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he does have some leverage because he is a guy that they kind of used in that Deebo Samuel type of role where, you know, they want him to catch and run. They use him in the red zone and those types of things, big body. But I don't think that he has a whole lot of leverage because the 49ers, and especially Kyle Shanahan, they're of the belief of his system is what makes it. Like he feels like it's more about the X's and O's than the Joes. Now, I don't agree, but that being said, that's kind of the approach there. And it's interesting that he's asking for, you know, this type of situation because very similar to Juwan Jennings is Nick Westbrook-McKinney, you know, the old Honda Accord. And he's now down there in Miami because they felt like the Accord, could be traded in for another car.
That brings to mind a question for me is he a good enough player, Jennings, to ask for a trade? If he doesn't get the new deal, if the 49ers just say, hey, Juwan, we love you, here's what we can do, and if he says, no, I want to be traded, what's the trade market for a player like him?
Yeah, I don't think there's a huge trade market for a player like him. Like, don't get me wrong. He's a big body. Yeah. He's tough. He's gifted. But I think he's one of those players where it's not – he's not a unique athlete, like a unique wide receiver. You could find Juwan Jennings. I mean, I just mentioned Nip Westbrook-Ikhine, who was an undrafted free agent. So there are other guys that you could get along those lines. Obviously, it's already been proven what he brings works. But at the same time, it goes back to what I said, the system, the X's and O's over the Joes. Now, there are exceptions, right? Like you look at George Kittle, you look at Christian McCaffrey. Like those are guys they put in the system and it really elevates it. But at the same time, I don't believe that Jennings is as special as like a Kittle or McCaffrey.
With Purdy now heading into another phase of his career, you know, he's got the contract now. You've got McCaffrey and Kittle, guys who are a year older. And if, you know, they play so hard and they've been banged up. What do you think the window looks like for the 49ers now?
Oh, I mean, I think it's now. I think it's now.
But
or
you
next
think
year.
They could bounce back? You think they could still bounce back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a whole lot of players. And remember, Robert Saleh is back running that defense. And he had that place rocking, you know, as far as the defense is concerned and stopping people. So I would say their window this year, next year. But guys are getting older, right? George Kittle is getting older. McCaffrey, I don't know. We'll see. You know what I mean? But
would you take him with your first pick in the fantasy if he's the guy that?
No. I'm taking Saquon. That's who I would pick. Saquon. You know.
Right. Oh, I think for sure he'll be the number one pick. I'm curious where if McCaffrey's fourth or fifth, and you're in your fantasy league and you've got that pick right where he's going to be sitting there, and it's him or another guy. You can bite on McCaffrey early.
I'll take one of them. Look, you got Malik Nabers. You got Jets, Justin Jefferson. You got the best receiver in the league, Jamar Chase. Like, there's a lot of other options that I would take over McCaffrey because the injury and then just you don't know.
Teron, I know that you have a busy schedule today, so we appreciate you taking some time to join us. We'll chat next week.
All right, for sure. And, hey, let's go Mets.
There you go. We got a long way to go, Teron, but we're in position. Manaea looked good yesterday. We got Senga back. It's going to be a good second half.
Let's go.
Thank you, Teron. We'll talk next week.
Yep. Appreciate it.